Thank you, Seattle. Thank you. You know, when I was a kid, I had a dream of being at home plate in a major league ballpark. But I didn't know that I would be giving a speech. I thought I'd have a bat in my hand. So thank you all very much. What a fantastic turnout. Thank you, Seattle. Let me thank Felicia Pales, PM Marcus Lilerio Bands, Jawara McDuffie, the Taco Cat Band, Shama Savant, Grace Love, Dallas Roberts, Jessica Severance, Greenski Bluegrass Band, John Popper, and Roman Deep Siegman. And mostly thank all of you for coming out tonight. Tomorrow, are you guys ready to make history tomorrow? Well, at 10 a.m. in caucuses all over the state, that is exactly what we will be doing. Tomorrow morning, the great state of Washington has the opportunity to help lead this country into a political revolution. Tomorrow morning, in the great state of Washington, we are going to say loud and clear, the billionaire class cannot have it all. Tomorrow morning, we are going to tell the world that we demand a government that represents all of us, not just a handful of wealthy campaign contributors. Here is the political reality that we have seen throughout this campaign. If there is a large voter turnout tomorrow, we'll win. If there is a low voter turnout, we'll lose. Let's make sure there is a large voter turnout. We began this campaign some 10 months ago. And when we began, all of the media experts and all of the pundits said, Bernie, you're a nice guy. You comb your hair beautifully. You're a GQ kind of guy. But really, your campaign is a fringe candidacy. You can't win. Well, 11 months, 10 months have come and gone. When we began, we were 3% in the polls, 70 points behind Hillary Clinton. Yesterday, a national poll came out. We're 1 point up. We have now won 11 states. And if there are large turnouts tomorrow in Washington, Hawaii, and Alaska, we have a shot to win 3 more. And I believe that if we win here in Washington, we're going to win in California. We are going to win in Oregon, and we've got a real path toward victory to the White House. And let me also say that if we win the Democratic nomination, we are going to win the general election. Poll after poll shows us that in matchups with Donald Trump, we don't worry, Trump will not become president. A recent CNN poll, consistent with many other polls, showed Hillary Clinton doing very well against Trump. She was beating him by 12 points. We were beating him by 20 points. She was tied up with Ted Cruz. We were beating him by 13 points. She was losing to John Kasich. We were beating him by 6 points. So don't let anybody tell you that Hillary Clinton is the strongest Democratic candidate to take on the Republicans. It is not true. But it is not just polls. Democrats and progressives will win when there is a large voter turnout. Republicans win when people become demoralized and don't come out to vote. It is our campaign, as you can see here tonight. It is our campaign that is creating the incitement and the enthusiasm which will result in a huge voter turnout in November. Let me just say for a moment a few of the very important differences between Secretary Clinton and myself. And one of them has to do with how you raise money for a campaign. When we began this campaign, we had to make a very simple decision, and that decision was, should we do what every other campaign does and start a super PAC? We agreed with you. We didn't want a super PAC. We don't need a super PAC. We don't represent Wall Street, corporate America, or the billionaire class. So we did it a different way, different than any other campaign. We went to the working families and the middle class of this country, and what we said is, if you want a candidate who is prepared to take on big money interests, protect and expand the middle class of this country, help us out. And what happened was unbelievable. Up to this point, we have now received almost 6 million individual campaign contributions. More contributions than any campaign in the history of the United States of America. Anybody here know what the average contribution is? $27. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg, this is a campaign of the people, by the people, and for the people. Now, Secretary Clinton did it in a slightly different way. She established several super PACs, and our largest super PAC recently reported raising $25 million in special interest money, including $15 million from Wall Street. In addition, as many of you know, Secretary Clinton has given speeches behind closed doors to large Wall Street financial institutions for $225,000 a speech. Now, I kind of think that if somebody's going to pay you $225,000 for a speech, it must be a mind-blowing, brilliant, earth-shattering speech. It must be written in Shakespearean prose. It must be a speech that will uplift the entire world. Therefore, I think the Secretary should release the transcripts of that speech. Now, Secretary Clinton says she is prepared to release the transcripts if other people, other candidates, release their transcripts. So tonight, here in this beautiful baseball field, I am prepared to make a dramatic announcement. Are you ready? Tonight, in the beautiful city of Seattle, I am announcing that I will release all of the transcripts of my speeches to Wall Street. Are you ready? Here they are! Shh. There aren't any, no speeches. Now, I just can't understand why Secretary Clinton gets $225,000 and I can't even get a damn invitation to speak to Wall Street. I don't know why. Forget $225,000. What about $20,000, $2,000, $18? Can't get it. And maybe it has something to do with the fact that Wall Street would not be interested in hearing what I had to say. So my cell phone is on. I am waiting the call from Wall Street. If I get that call and if I get that invitation, this is what I will tell them. I will tell them that their greed and recklessness and illegal behavior drove this country into the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression of the 1930s. I will tell them that the middle class of this country bailed them out because their banks were too big to fail. But today, three out of the four largest banks are bigger than they were when we bailed them out because they were too big to fail. And I will tell them that when a handful of financial institutions has so much economic and political power, it is time to A, reestablish Glass-Steagall legislation, and B, it is time to break them up. We need a financial institution in this country which provides affordable loans to small and medium-sized businesses and to the working families of this country, not financial institutions that exist as an island unto themselves, worried only about their profits. Now, this campaign is doing well because we are listening to the American people and not just wealthy campaign contributors. We are listening to working people who tell me they can't make it on $8 or $9 an hour. And I want to congratulate the City Council of Seattle, the people of Seattle, for doing the right thing and leading this country to what we've got to do nationally, $15 an hour for every worker in America. This campaign is listening to senior citizens and disabled veterans. And they are telling me they cannot make it on $11,000 or $12,000 a year Social Security. Republicans want to cut Social Security. Instead, we have got some bad news for them. We're not going to cut Social Security. We're going to raise Social Security benefits. This campaign is doing well because we are telling the American people the truth. And the truth is that today we have a campaign finance system which is corrupt, a system which is undermining American democracy. And that is why, together, we are going to overturn Citizens United. And why we are going to move to public funding of elections. Now, this is serious business. Because when you have the Koch brothers and a handful of billionaires spending hundreds of millions of dollars to elect candidates who represent the wealthy and the powerful, that is not democracy. That is oligarchy. We will not accept that. And this campaign is exposing the reality that today we are living in a rigged economy. Millions of Americans are working longer hours for lower wages, yet almost all new income and wealth goes to the top 1%. America must not be a country in which the top 0.1% owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. We must not be an economy where the 20 wealthiest people own more wealth than the bottom 150 million Americans. We are not going to be an economy where the Walton family of Walmart owns more wealth than the bottom 40% of the American people. Together, we are going to create an economy that works for all of us, not just the 1%. But it is not just a corrupt campaign finance system. It is not just a rigged economy. It is a broken criminal justice system. I am tired, you are tired, of seeing videos on television of unarmed Americans being shot and killed by police. Now, I'm a former mayor. I have worked with police officers and police departments all over my state, all over this country. Vast majority of police officers are honest, hardworking, doing a very difficult job. But like any other public official, if an officer breaks the law, that officer must be held accountable. In America, we have got to demilitarize local police departments. We have got to make police departments reflect the diversity of the communities they serve. We have got to rethink the war on drugs. Over the last 30 years, millions of Americans have received police records for possession of marijuana. Today, marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug in the Federal Controlled Substance Act, alongside of heroin. And that is why I have introduced legislation to take marijuana out of the Federal Controlled Substance Act. As you all know, states make the decision regarding legalization of marijuana, but it should not be a federal crime. And when we talk about drugs, it's important to understand that we have a real crisis in this country, in my state, in New Hampshire, all over this country, of addiction to opiates and addiction to heroin. If we are going to be effective in addressing that serious crisis, we need to understand that drug abuse, alcohol abuse, substance abuse is a health issue, not a criminal issue. Today, the United States has more people in jail than any other country on earth. And not unrelated to that is that youth unemployment for our kids is sky high. For white kids, 33%. For Latino kids, 36%. African American kids, 51%. Together, we are going to protect our kids by investing in education and jobs, not jails and incarceration. This campaign is listening to women. And women are telling me they are sick and tired of working for 79 cents on the dollar compared to men. They want the whole damn dollar. And I know that every man here will stand with the women in the fight for pay equity. You know, we got Republicans running all over the country talking about family values, how much they love families. Everybody here must understand that when Republicans talk about family values, what they are saying is no woman here tonight in this state, in this country, should have the right to control her own body. I disagree. They are saying that our gay brothers and sisters should not have the right to get married. I disagree. Now, Jane and I have been married for 27 years. We have 4 kids, 7 grandchildren. And we believe in family, but our views a little bit different than Republicans. When I talk about family values, I talk about ending the international disgrace of the United States being the only major country on earth that does not guarantee paid family and medical leave. This campaign is listening to young people. And I am so excited that all over this country, young people are standing up and fighting for their rights. Young people are the future of our nation, and they want a say in the future of our nation. Young people tell me that their parents, their teachers, everybody said to them, go out and get the best education that you can. That it is important for you, it's important for our economy, you go to school and you get all of the education you can. And that was the right advice. Problem is that many of these young people have come out of school $30,000, $50,000, $80,000 in debt. What this campaign is about is asking the American people to think outside of the box, to think outside of the status quo, to understand that we can change in a fundamental way the status quo. It doesn't have to continue. Think about it for 1 second. Why are we punishing millions of people for getting an education? Why are we forcing them to pay off outrageous levels of student debt, in some cases for decades? We should be rewarding people for getting an education, not punishing them. Look, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, it was a great idea that we had public education systems throughout our country which guaranteed free public education to all from first grade to 12th grade. That was an enormous achievement. But in 2016, the economy and the world is different than it was 50 years ago. People today need more education. Fifty years ago, a high school degree was the equivalent of what a college degree is today. It enabled you to go out and get a decent job. The world has changed. The economy has changed, and our conception of public education has got to change, and that is why I believe that we have got to make public colleges and universities tuition free. Now, some people think that this is a radical idea. It is not a radical idea. Germany does it, Scandinavia does it, countries all over the world invest in their young people because they understand a well-educated population is the future of their country. Furthermore, we have got to deal with this crisis of student debt, which means that we have got to give those millions of people now carrying student debt the opportunity to refinance those loans at the lowest interest rates they can find. This campaign is listening to the Latino community. There are today about 11 million people in this country who are undocumented. And what the Latino community is telling me is they are tired of living in the shadows. They are tired of being exploited. They are tired of living in fear. They want, I want, comprehensive immigration reform and a path toward citizenship. And let me just say that if the Congress does not do their job and pass comprehensive immigration reform, I will use the executive powers of the presidency to do everything I can. Immigration reform is about bringing families together, not separating them. It is about ending the deportations we see today. This campaign is listening to our brothers and sisters in the African American community. And they are asking me how it can be that this country has trillions of dollars to spend on a war in Iraq that we never should have gotten into in the first place. A war which I strongly opposed, but somehow we can spend trillions on that war, but we don't have the funds available to rebuild crumbling inner cities all over this country. Well, we're going to change those priorities. No more tax breaks for billionaires and large corporations. We're going to invest in inner cities, create great schools, put people to work, provide health care to all. I was in Flint, Michigan 3 or 4 weeks ago, and what I observed in Flint and what I heard from people was literally something that not only broke my heart, it was hard for me to believe was occurring in the United States of America in the year 2016. In this country, children are being poisoned with excessive lead in the water in America in 2016. Now, Flint may be the worst example of a collapsing infrastructure, but it is not the only example. All over this country, Hundreds of cities have inadequate water systems, inadequate wastewater plants. Bridges are deteriorating. Roads are inadequate. Our rail system fallen behind many other countries. Levees and dams need enormous amounts of work. We can create 11 million good-paying jobs rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure. This campaign is listening to our brothers and sisters in the Native American community. Now, I don't have to tell anyone here tonight who has read 5 minutes of American history that from day one, when the first settlers came to this country before we were a nation, Native Americans were lied to, they were treated in absolutely disgraceful ways, treaties negotiated in good faith were broken. We owe the Native American community far more than we can repay. Some of the best parts of our culture, some of the very best parts of our culture come from the first Americans. Our understanding of the environment and the need to be part of nature, not to destroy nature, comes from Native Americans. But today, all over this country, we find on reservations and in Native American communities unemployment, extremely high suicide rates, horrific alcoholism, drug addiction, schools that are inadequate, health care that is inadequate. I pledge that if elected president, there will be a fundamental change in the relationship of the United States government to the Native American communities. When we talk about the crises we face as a nation, at the top of the list is the understanding that climate change is real. It is caused by human activity. It is already causing major problems in our country and around the world. We have a moral responsibility to leave this planet in a way that is healthy and habitable to future generations. This is not an American issue. This is a global issue. We have got to lead the way in working with Russia, China, India, countries all over the world in standing up to the fossil fuel industry and in telling them that their short-term profits are not more important than the future of this planet. We know exactly what has to be done, and that is to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. The future of energy in America is not coal, it is not oil, it is not gas, it is wind, it is solar, it is geothermal, it is sustainable energy. And when we make that transformation, we clean up the environment, we combat climate change, and we create millions of decent-paying jobs. Now, I have been roundly criticized for saying this, so let me say it again. I believe that health care is a right of all people, not a privilege. Now, the affordable, I am on the committee. I'm on the committee that helped write the Affordable Care Act, and it has done a lot of good. We've done away with this obscenity called pre-existing conditions. Some 17 million people now have insurance who previously did not. We have done away with discrimination against women in terms of the cost of their health care premiums. But, today in America, we remain the only major country that does not guarantee health care to all people as a right. The UK does it, France does it, Germany does it, Holland does it, Italy does it, Scandinavia does it, Canada does it. And in my view, we have got to do the same thing here in America. Today, 29 million people still have no health insurance, and many of you are underinsured with high deductibles and high copayments. Is that right? And we are being ripped off in an unconscionable way by the drug companies who are charging us the highest prices in the world for our medicine. And on top of all of that, we end up paying by far more money for health care per capita than any other country on earth. In my view, we have got to have the courage to take on the insurance companies, take on the drug companies, and pass a Medicare for All single-payer program. And when we do that, we will save the middle-class families thousands of dollars a year on their health care costs. Now, everybody here knows that real change never takes place from the top on down. Real change historically always takes place from the bottom on up, when millions of people come together and say the status quo is unacceptable. 100 years ago, when workers were being ruthlessly exploited, when they were treated like animals, when they had no right on the job, when their wages were inadequate, they stood up and they said, we are human beings, we're going to form unions, we're going to bargain collectively. And when workers formed unions, wages went up, and every American worker benefited. And I want to take this opportunity tonight to thank the International Longshore and Warehouse Union for their support. And to thank the many other millions of union workers who are supporting this campaign. For hundreds of years, African Americans and their allies worked together to say that in America, segregation, bigotry, discrimination was not what this country is supposed to be about. It didn't come from the top on down. It came from people who stood up, who fought, who went to jail, who were killed, who were beaten, to say that in this country, we will wipe out racism. We forget this, but 100 years ago, a very short time from an historical perspective, 100 years ago, women in America could not vote, could not go to the schools they wanted to, could not do the work and the jobs they wanted to do. But women and their male allies said that in this country, women will not be second-class citizens. And change took place from the bottom on down. And then, if we were here, and I want you to think about this, we were here 10 years ago, somebody jumps up and says, you know, I think that gay marriage will be legal in the United States by the year 2015. Legal in 50 states. Very few people would have believed that would have been possible. But what happened is for decades, the gay community and their straight allies said that people in this country have a right to love each other regardless of their gender. And against horrific bigotry and hatred, and my state of Vermont was one of the leaders in this country in the fight for gay marriage. And I saw, you know, we saw the tension and the prejudices that took place. But because of the struggle of the gay community and their straight allies, we achieved gay marriage in 50 states in this country, from the bottom on up. And let me give you another example that this city should be very proud of in terms of real change. This city. If we were here 7 years ago, and somebody jumps up and they say, Bernie, you know, the $7.25 an hour minimum wage is a starvation wage. It is a disgrace. We have got to raise it to 15 bucks an hour. What most people around them would have said, 15 bucks an hour, you're nuts. You are trying to double, more than double the minimum wage. It's too radical an idea. It can't happen. Think smaller. But what happened is that all over this country, people in the fast food industry, people who worked at McDonald's, at Burger King, at Wendy's, they went out on strike. And I was privileged to march with them in Washington, D.C. They went out on strike They protested, they went to the community, and they said to America, we can't live on $7.25 an hour. And then, right here in Seattle, your city council said, we're going to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And then suddenly, Los Angeles, San Francisco, $15 an hour. Oregon, New York State, $15 an hour. And millions of American workers will be able to live with a shred of dignity because of that movement. And that is what change is about. It is what change has always been about. It is when people look around them and say the status quo is not acceptable. And other people will tell them, you can't do it. You want to wipe out racism, you want to wipe out segregation, you want to wipe out homophobia, you want to end discrimination against workers. You can't do it. Don't think so big. I disagree. And right now, we are at a pivotal moment in American history where millions of people are looking around this country and they're beginning to see that grotesque levels of income and wealth inequality not acceptable. Trade policy, which cost us millions of jobs, not acceptable. Millions of people leaving college deeply in debt, not acceptable. Women working for 79 cents on the dollar, not acceptable. The United States having the highest rate of childhood poverty of any major country, not acceptable. A corrupt campaign finance system, not acceptable. A broken criminal justice system, not acceptable. The fact that we're the only major country on earth not to have health care for all or paid family and medical leave, not acceptable. And that is where we are today. Millions of people are saying the status quo is not acceptable. We need a political revolution. I am the only candidate for president who will tell you a simple truth, and that is that no president, not Bernie Sanders or anybody else, can address the major crises facing this country unless tens of millions of people stand up, fight back. And demand a government which represents all of us, not just the 1%. And if we stand together, black and white and Latino and Asian American and Native American, gay and straight, men and women, people born in this country, people who came to this country. If we stand together, there is nothing we cannot accomplish. Our job is to think big, not small. Our job is to have a vision of what this country can be. And it is a vision which says that all of our people can have a decent standard of living, where we have a vibrant democracy, where all of us determine the future, not just the few. Now, Donald Trump is not going to become president of the United States. He is not going to become president because the American people understand that bringing people together is what makes us strong, and it trumps dividing us up. The American people understand that togetherness, supporting each other, that when you are in trouble, we are there for you. When my family is in trouble, you are there for us. That togetherness always trumps selfishness. And most importantly, the American people understand that we are not going to elect a president who insults Mexicans and Latinos, who insults Muslims, who insults women, who insults veterans, who insults African Americans, and it was a candidate running like he was in a cafeteria food fight in the eighth grade. But most importantly, I think, the American people understand what every major religion on earth has taught us, whether it is Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Sikh religion, whatever religion, has always taught us that love trumps hatred. Tomorrow morning, 12 hours from now, people of Washington will have the opportunity to make a very profound statement, and that is that Washington will help lead this country forward into a political revolution. If there is a large voter turnout tomorrow, we will win. If there is a low voter turnout, we will lose. Please come out tomorrow. Bring your friends and your relatives. Let's make history tomorrow. Thank you.